I would like to talk about a topic that comes from very classical type of martingales. So if we go back to the classical theory, if we start from a martingale in L1, let's say in a probability space, then we have these three things. First, the maximal function, that if we compute the, if you look at the L1 norm and you look at the maximal function, that is supremum of the Fn's, it is on the weak L1. The same thing, the square function turns out to be on the weak L1 as well, with some appropriate constant. And the martingale transform, that is, if you take the difference of the martingale, it's unconditional. That is, if we insert these signs, then it's bounded by the L1 norm as well. The weak L1, of course, let me remind here, it's this quantity here. We take the probability of the set where F is bigger than A and multiply that by A and take the supremum. Okay, so in all of this, of course, the weak L1 is less than the L1 norm. So the main thing here is that we don't get the same norm, but we have to throw it into something smaller. Okay, so so that's the motivation. So we'll be looking at a non-commutative martingale this time. That is, instead of the L1 space, we'll be looking at the non-commutative L1. So I'll be only discussing LP spaces with trace here in this situation. So I need the corresponding weak L1, of course. So if you look at what happened here, it's just a copy of what I just said. That is, instead of looking at the set F bigger than some lambda, this would be the corresponding projection for that set. And we take the probability, that's the same as taking the trace, and we multiply by lambda. So the very same norm. Okay, so that's the weak L1. So non-commutative martingale, then, Haskell already talks a little bit about this in his talk this morning, is we consider a sequence of increasing subalgebras. And for each one of them, we should be able to project into the previous one. Excuse me? Oh, okay. Sorry. Is this... where was I? Okay, so we start from a sequence of increasing subalgebras, and we take the expectation that is simply projections going back into the smaller algebra, the same way as one does with the L infinity. We have the the F sub n's, usually what we do in the... And then we look at... then we try to project... this is n plus 1. And we try to project into L infinity of the F sub n. If we have... okay, so we do the same thing here with these conditions. Well, this is just the expectation condition. And they are invariant with respect to the trace. So once we have that, this second condition here allows one to just, same way as in the classical case, just lift this expectation to just projections on the LP spaces themselves for P bigger than 1. Okay, so leave this here. So the question, of course, is, oh, I haven't defined the non-commutative martingale, of course, is defined as simply that the a sequence where the expectation of x sub n plus 1 is this down to the x sub n, same as the okay, crucial terminology that I will use is the difference sequence, which is simply the difference between the two terms. An example, just to give an insight for this, is just the if you take n by n matrices and just look at the upper left corners. Okay, so you can think of this as the m sub 1, m sub 2, and m sub 3, and so forth. And that would provide an example of a martingale. Okay, so as I mentioned at the beginning, my goal is really to see if the tree result, the weak type result for classical martingale would also works for for the non-commutative ones. So let me start with the maximal inequalities. Okay, so first, let me do it here. If we look at p bigger than 1, there is, I should mention here first that, of course, we can't take supremum of operators. So Junge proved this theorem here, which replaces the usual supremum, that is, if you have a martingale in LP, p bigger than 1, then we can majorize it with an operator which still belongs to LP, which is essentially the usual maximal theorem is true. Okay, so the question here, of course, is can we do the same thing so that if we have a martingale in L1, can we take this B to be in weak L1? Okay, a result of Junge and Su says that the constant that you have here is of order 1 over p minus 1 squared as p goes to 1, which really suggests that one cannot change this statement here by simply having weak L1 for b. In fact, they also verified that if you just look at the martingale and if you replace this by norm 1 on the matrices, I should say, not martingale, then the order, it's of order log n squared, which are all indication that it should not be true, that is, you cannot just get a B which is in weak L1. Okay, so what is true is if we restrict ourselves to the finite trace only, then we take a martingale in L1, then one can find a sequence of disjoint projections which sums up to 1 to the identity, so that it's majorized by something in L1, if we look at this sum here. Okay, this, of course, doesn't contradict the classical theorem, because If this commutes, then this would be just x sub k. So it is still the same as the classical theorem, except you have, in this case, you have to do it from both sides. So you really get something smaller here. So it doesn't quite give us the same thing as the one from the classical theorem. It is also true that if instead of working with the weak L1 norm, you work with LP when P less than 1, this, throw it down a little bit, then we do get the majoration by something in LP. This, the supremum, if we think of it that way, is in LP for P less than 1. So let's just leave it here. I'll be done. Okay, so so this comes from yet another maximal theorem, which is already known from the 70s, which says that if you have a bounded martingale in L1, and if you fix a positive number, I'm assuming here that everything is positive to L, then we have the following. We have this inequality here, that is, if we restrict to Q, then it's less than lambda. All the xn's will be less than lambda. And Q has this condition here. So this is almost the same as the maximal theorem that we stated at the beginning, because if all the xn's, if this is true for all the xn's, we are really essentially saying here that supremum of the xn, when you apply to this projection, is less than lambda. So in a sense, this Q is basically saying the supremum, no, less than lambda. So it's almost looking at this set here. And the second condition here, if we remember the weak L1 norm, is looking at the F bigger than lambda and multiplied by lambda. So the 1 minus Q here is the opposite of the... So this would be like supremum bigger than lambda. So this condition here almost saying that we have this operator here, which is in weak L1. Except it doesn't give the operator itself, which gives this collection of projections. Right, so that's... So what I just said is really coming from this thing here. So first, inductively, you can produce these projections, which sums up to 1, and by just applying lambda equals 2 to the n. So this condition here just comes from here. So what is the modulation then? So if we fix y to be this operator here, and then the weak LP norm of y is finite, that's essentially straightforward by definition of the P sub n's. So, and also if we look at, I don't know how to do this, these operators, that is, we have a double sum here, and we put this on both sides. Okay, our y was the same thing. basically what we do here is we just divide this into both sides. So that's why we have the over 2 here. You know. And this turns out to be bounded, this operator here. So if these are bounded, then we would have this equality here, which gives us automatically that all the x sub k is less than, where y here is going to be in for p less than 1. And of course, if you push it a little bit down, then you have something in LP. Okay. Now, for the let's see what's next. For the square function, the motivation comes from a theorem of Pisi and Su, which says that the P norm is equivalent to this expression here. That is, we take the difference sequence, take the square function, but we can't do it just once. We have to split it into two parts and then use this different sequence here and here the adjoint. And you take the infimum. Alright, so the right, so what we should expect here would be to get the same thing, except we have weak L1 norm on these two. Okay, unfortunately, I was unable to verify this at this time, but I think this is the right statement. That is, if we look at the L1 norm, this should be bigger than the infimum, same way as on the other slide with weak L1 norm instead of the 1 norm. Okay, this is supported by two things. One can verify this very easily for the n by n matrices with the upper left corner. It is true for that particular case. Also, one can show the following. If you look at this quantity here, that is, if you look at the same thing with the weak L1 norm, what I was able to show at this time is it's less than the L log L norm. That is, L log L here would be the trace of x and log plus x. This, which of course is bigger than 1. So if you can push this down to 1, then that would be the satisfying condition here. Okay. So for the final, how much time do I have? So the last thing was the martingale transform. So again, the P bigger than 1 was proved by Pisi and Su. So again, what is expected here would be to get the same thing with 1 norm here, then weak L1 norm here. So that is true in this case. That is, for any non-commutative martingale, the difference sequence is of weak type. That is, the martingale transform is bounded from L1 to weak L1. Okay, so to prove this, what one needs is simply looking at the well, remember the weak L1 norm is defined by simply lambda times this trace here. So what we need is to show that for every lambda, you'd have a absolute constant so that this is true. Okay, so just indicate how, again, the crucial part of this is, I mentioned already, the maximal function of Cuculescu from the 70s, which allows us to reduce the problem into a bounded martingale. That is, we start from L1, and we throw in these projections, and you have something in the von Neumann algebra itself. That is, you have something in L-infinity. Okay, so once we have it in L-infinity, then you can throw into any LPs that we have. So working with L2, of course, is much easier than any of these spaces. So the key here is that reduce the problem into L2. So we split the sum into three parts. So every time this appears, then this takes over. So we already got this right good inequality here for these two parts. So you just have to work with this, which turns out to be in L-infinity. So you just throw it into L2, and that makes the computation a lot easier to work with. The right statement, of course, is this one here, but the key here is that you just throw in these projections. Okay, so once you have these projections, you make it into an L2 norm. Now, this is again, in a sense, a different sequence, but it's not a martingale. It turns out to be a super martingale. If it was a martingale, then it would have been easy to just remove this because you have unconditionality again. But it's a super martingale. So what to avoid that, it's simply split it into two parts. That is, make it a martingale, and the remaining part turns out to be negative. That is, since it's a super martingale, this is smaller than this one here. So each one of these terms is less than or equal to zero, so you have something that is decreasing. So since it's decreasing, when you take the different sequence, they all have the same sign. So if they all have the same sign, then it doesn't matter what sign we insert in here, we can always throw these signs out. So that's basically what needs to be done here. Okay, the crucial part here, of course, is you get this martingale, but since we define this with this sum, it could be too big. But fortunately, it's not that big. The new martingale that we have, the L2 norm actually can be controlled by 6 times lambda, the trace of the martingale itself. Okay, so once we have that, then we just do it this way. This is now a different sequence of a martingale. We can take care of the signs. And these are all the same sign. So again, we can get rid of the signs here. And once the signs are removed, that's exactly what we want. So the last thing I have here is simply putting together all the steps that I just said. First, we we inserted these projections, and then we changed it into L2 with super martingales, and then we broke this into two parts that allows us to remove the sign. So once all the signs are removed, we get exactly what we want, which is a constant times the L1 bar. Okay, so it's kind of finished early, but that's all I have. That would be. So, Kitchen inequality for p less than 1 is essentially like a particular case of the martingale difference, really.
Yeah.
Right? So, that is still open, of course. So. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, the Kitchen inequality that is being referred to here is actually the Lustiger version of the Kitchen inequality, which is a non-commutative version. Any other comment or question? Okay, in this case, this is